thankful for the song service and for each one that's here. I ask for a continuation of your prayers. Pray that you would pray for yourself, that God would open your heart and God would tender your minds and keep you attentive to his word, that it might truly be a blessing and a help in your life. The subject on my mind this morning is time, and it's something that every one of us have to deal with. Time is a part of our everyday life. It's time to get up. It's time to go to bed. It's time to eat. It's time to pick up the kids from school. It's time to do something all the time. There's never been a time like this time, though, that it seemed like God's people and everyone else has no time. I think about all of the technology that we received and all the great inventions that have come about, mostly in the last 20 years, since the mid-90s. You know, I didn't own a computer until 1996. There were some around that would take half of this auditorium to building to put in. That's how big they was. Now their computer in this phone probably is capable as in the phones we have is something to fill half this building. So inventions and technology have come a long ways, and our ability to perform certain tasks and actions in this life have become very simple and very easy. In other words, there are things that we done 40 and 50 years ago that took far longer to accomplish or to even get done that can be done in minutes now, in little or no time. You know, communication's one of them. We did have telephones. I remember when I grew up, we had party lines, and if you ever got a chance to get on the party line, you could communicate with somebody, and they could listen to your communication if they so desired. But we've come a long ways. But in a lot of cases in those days, I'm probably older than I'd want to admit, but that's a blessing in itself. I'm thankful to have this much time in my life. Used to folks wrote letters. Well, there's not many letters being wrote. You can send an email and they can read it in the next 15 minutes or maybe in the next 5 minutes. A lot of times you can get an email talking to someone on the phone as you sit there. So our ability to communicate is unbelievable. It happens in seconds compared to days years ago. Technology has created things in this life that have shortened our time span for doing a certain task to an unbelievable measure. And yet, it seems as though our people, God's people, the Lord's people, and everyone else never have any time. There's not enough time in the day to do what you want to do, to accomplish the task at hand. There's not enough time to take care of all the needs you have in life. So time is something that I want us to consider this morning. It's precious. Time is a gift. Did you know that? God breathed the breath of life into your nostrils, and you became a living soul. That's a gift. Life is a gift. We were created from nothing, absolutely nothing. We never existed. We wasn't a thought. There was nothing in our lives that would make it any different, and yet God gave us the gift of life. But you know, in the gift of life also comes the gift of time. Now, some people believe that time is their enemy. I'll argue that time is both our enemy and our friend. To the flesh or the natural body, time is your enemy. Over time, time causes the body to decay, become fragile. We all know, if you're of any age in here, you understand the effects that time has on the natural body. But time is truly our friend, because there's coming that day when time will exist no more in your life. Did you know that? Where change will never happen again. Your body won't be suffering the afflictions of this life. Whatever problem you may have, or somebody you love, or somebody you know, will end. I think so much about time and the difficulties we have. And this morning I want to look at time, but also want to look at the precious use of time. I want to read, beginning in Ephesians chapter 5, in verse 14, it says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead." Paul here said to awaken and rise from the dead. Well, we know that there is no natural man that has the power to raise himself from the dead. So we understand that there certainly must be something else spoken of here. He says, Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest. This person is truly asleep or lives life in a state of sleep, you might say. And his activity or his actions are equal to a dead man's. In other words, he's not active in the kingdom of God. He's not active in many things. He says, awakest thou that sleepest and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. Christ, or our God, is the only one that has the power and the ability to raise any dead body to life. So that's not under consideration here. This is talking about Christians who fell asleep in life through apathy or continuation of things over and over and over. This says, if we will awake, God will give us light. See then that you walk circumspectly, diligently, not as fools, but as wise. Now, one of the key things we want to understand this morning as we begin to look at time is wisdom. It's sprinkled in there in a great and mighty way. It says, see that you walk circumspectly or diligently, as that word means, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time. Now, I ask you today, if you was honest with yourself, I don't want to know. I could spend a lot of time speaking to you this morning about all the time that I have wasted in my life. I really have. Believe it or not, I have wasted a tremendous amount of time. Do you know that in 1 week, there are 168 hours? Did you know that if you work 8 hours, 7 days a week, and you sleep 8 hours, 7 days a week, that's only 116 hours. That means you've got 52 extra hours to do something with. If you come to church and spend an hour and a half or 2 hours here on Sunday morning, an hour on Wednesday night, that's three of them. You still got 49 hours. Where does all that time go? Can you account for it? I can't. It seems to slip away. You know what tuned my mind to this thought so much was is when me and Brother Don spoke last Sunday, we spoke of the week of Thanksgiving. This had nothing to do with it. Brother Don's son, Reed, came. He lives in Detroit. He hadn't seen him in a long time. And it was just a tremendous blessing for him to be with Reed and get to spend some time with him. But he said, you know, he said, I looked up and it's over. You know, Sister Suzanne, my wife, in all the years she's been in the school system, she's never, until this year that I know of, had the complete week of Thanksgiving off from school. And yet it seemed like it wasn't but 24 hours and back to school she went. I mean, time just seems to get away from us, does it not? At my age, it seems like it's just accelerating more and more. I can't believe that Thanksgiving is past and Christmas is here. And it's almost like night and day, like waking up one morning and another year's gone. What have we done with our time? Have we used it wisely? That's the question. How much time have we wasted? Brother George used to say something that I believe is very important that we need to consider. The word joy, that means Jesus first, others second, which includes your family and yourself last. When you allot time in your life, when you lay out your week or your days, how much of that time do you allocate to yourself? How much of it do you allocate to the Lord? How much of it do you allocate to others? Your children, your brothers and sisters in Christ, it doesn't matter who it is. Time is precious. It is a gift from God. And we have only a certain amount of time. We're told in Psalms chapter 90 and verse 12, teach us to number our days. We have only a number of days. We don't know that number, but there's only a specific time that we have in our lives to live. Teach us to number our days that we might apply our hearts to wisdom. A wise use of our time is extremely important if we want to be blessed in this life. I believe it is. It says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. That word means the days are full of trouble. All of us have troubles. All of us go through afflictions. All of us have difficulties with children or jobs or finances. I mean, you name it, there's some kind of ongoing trouble or trouble that's not far away from us consistently, is there not? None of us escape that in this life. And yet Paul says we're to redeem the time. That means to bite back or to ransom it. I believe that Paul is telling us to do the best possible job we can to make full use of the time that God grants us here upon this earth. And when I think about it, in myself, I look back and I think, I have wasted so many years and so many days, and I've got nothing to show for it. And I'm not talking about materialistic things. I'm talking about in service unto the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm talking about in service to my brothers and sisters. I think about some folks in this church that I spoke to, and I won't mention by name, who go and help folks. And they go and see after them. I don't have to ask them to do it. They just do it. They're redeeming the time. And they do it as consistent as if it was their own family members. What a blessing that is. I don't think you and I can realize the blessings that we receive. But yet it seems so often that we don't have the time to do those things. We don't. You don't know what a blessing it is to go and be a help unto someone that can't do what you and I can do on a daily basis. It is a blessing, an untold blessing. It is what you call ransoming the time. You know, most of us, or at least myself, have spent a great portion of my life spelling, starting with the Y first. I allot the time to myself. You know, if I want a nap, I take a nap. If I want to watch TV, I watch TV. I mean, it doesn't matter what you allot it to. Is your time allocated to yourself first? That's not ransoming the time. That's not redeeming the time. That's buying it back. Think about the time that Jesus took to walk in that human body, put on that flesh, and walk in this life, and then go to the cross of Calvary. We ought to be able to sacrifice personal gain for serving the Lord and for serving others. That's redeeming time. Redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. This has a lot to say with wisdom. Paul told the Colossians at the church at Colossae over in Colossians chapter 4. He said, walk in wisdom toward them that are without. Redeeming the time. In other words, there's folks in among God's people that have very little wisdom. Are we redeeming the time we have? Are we putting the Lord first and others first? And it is easier to put our own family first sometimes, but I tell you what, when you go out and do something for someone, when you give them a cool drink, a cool cup of water, when you call them, I think about Sister Julia Patterson. I'll tell you why I think about her. She calls me on occasion. I don't go see her enough. I do go see her, but not nearly enough. But she just enjoys talking. She just enjoys a visit with someone. You know, that's redeeming the time. You know, we can watch the tube. We can watch the computer until the Lord comes back. There's something going to be going across, scrolling across it constantly. And I'm guilty of those things, or guilty of being in my own little world. I don't even have to be on one of them. Just taking my own time in my own hands and putting myself first. But I believe if we really redeem the time and we really want to get a blessing out of it, we need to sacrifice a certain amount of our day for the Lord. Now, I'm going to get back to this in a minute, but let's think about time and what time really is. I think the best definition I have of time from the dictionary is a measurement. And I'll explain it in this manner. We know that the Bible said that the evening and the morning was the first day. This is in the book of beginnings, the book of Genesis. The evening and the morning was the second day. Well, what does the evening and morning amount to? It's one revolution of the earth on its own axis, a complete revolution. It constitutes 24 hours. That's what we call the evening and the morning. That's what we call a day. That's a measurement, and that's how we measure time. The Bible talks about years. What is years? It's an accumulation of days. But truthfully, it's a measurement of how long it takes the earth to revolve around the sun, make one complete revolution around the sun being the center axis of the galaxy or the solar system that we're in. So we call that a year. That's a measurement of time. But let me tell you what I believe time is. You won't find this in the definition of any book, but I think you're going to find it in the Bible. One of the definitions of time is change. Because time brings change to you and I every day of our lives. Pull out some of your old pictures when you was a kid or when you was 20 years old and then stand in front of the mirror and tell me if you've not seen any change. There's a lot of change in this world that you and I have no control over. We are changing. Because time changes us. The consequences and the effects of time can be seen in every one of us, not only in human beings, but in the world in which we live. Let's notice what, in Acts chapter 17, what Luke tells us here, and it beginning in verse 24. God hath made the world and all the things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, dwelleth not in temples made with hands. We're going to understand as we read these three verses, God lives or exists. He exists outside the realm of time. God created time. There was no time before God said, in the beginning, God created the heavens and earth. Did you know that? Because God is eternal. He's in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he pleased, and it pleased him to create time and set that as the boundaries of our life. Do you know that time begins at conception and it ends in corporal death? That's why I say that time and change, or change is a good definition of time, because you know when you close your eyes in death and your soul and spirit take flight back unto God immediately, change will not exist anymore with you. That's when time ends and change ends in your life. It's just an amazing thing when I think about it. It's just an exciting thing. Change will never happen. Have you ever imagined existing where there's no change? It's almost something we can't fathom, is it not? I mean, things are changing around us so fast, we can't keep up with them. We look in the mirror, and sometimes we fibbed ourselves, is a good word to say. We want to believe that we hadn't changed, but friends, we've changed. You know, we want to think that we're 30 years older, that we're 20 years older. That we may be young at heart, but I tell you what, the body is failing. And the Bible teaches that. Time and the effects of time are taking care of our natural body. He says, neither is he worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything. God is self-existent. He didn't need us, but it was his pleasure to create us. He didn't need us to sustain him. He doesn't need us to go give him something. He created us for his honor and for his glory. That was the sole purpose that any of you, and myself included, exist here in this life. If you're a child of God, that is your entire purpose here in this life. He says, seeing that he giveth to all life and breath and all things. In other words, he breathed life into your nostrils. He gave you the gift of life. You're here because God blessed you with the gift of life. He also blessed you with the gift of time. But friends, I'm here to tell you, time is not very long upon this earth. The Apostle James tells us James 4 and 14, what is a man's life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and vanisheth away. Well, you know, I didn't used to understand that verse, but you know, the closer, I seem to be vanishing away pretty quick in my estimation, at least compared to where I started and thinking back. I mean, it's going very, very rapidly, and the older I get, the more it seems to accelerate. So my question is, am I making good use of my time? Am I wasting my time? Am I redeeming it? Am I ransoming it, using it for the good of my family and for the good of the kingdom of God, or am I spending all my time on myself? It's easy to do. That's what self desires. Self will desire, along with Satan's help, that you allocate all the time of all the days of your life to yourself and to none other. That's how our nature is. It takes a sacrifice. He goes on and he says, he hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth. We have men who live in different nations. They have different skin color. They have different facial features. But they have the same life of blood flowing through their veins. Did you know that? They're just like you and I. They have lungs and hearts and kidneys and all the things in our body. He's made them all the same. They exist the same way. And he said he gives us all things that we stand in need of in verse 25 to sustain us. But notice here he says, and hath determined the times before appointed and the bounds of their habitation. Friends, the little boundaries of time in your life are the boundaries of your habitation. Did you know that? How many shows have you watched in the course of your life on TV that dealt with time machines? You remember that show, and I can't, Michael J. Fox was in it, Back to the Future? We watch that all the time, but there's some that went forward and some that went backwards. Man has always been intrigued with time. But do you know there's not a human being on this earth can escape the boundaries of time, a natural man? We can't. No matter how much we desire to do so, that's the boundary line that you and I cannot cross unless this body dies. The body won't cross it at that given time, but the soul and spirit will fly away. Time is our boundaries. We can't escape it. It is our habitation. It is something else that we have to deal with. Time goes on. You know, another interesting thing about time is it doesn't matter how many problems you have. It doesn't matter whether you're happy or you're sad, whether you're dancing with joy or mourning, or whatever the circumstances of your life may be, the clock keeps ticking. Time has no care for your situation or circumstances. The clock continues to go around. There was one time in the Bible in the Old Testament that God caused the sun to stand still. There is no human being that has that power, only the God that we serve. The question I ask myself, and I hope you'll ask yourself, is how am I spending my time? Am I using it wisely? Am I truly redeeming the time that God has blessed me to have upon this earth? God didn't say you couldn't spend any time on yourself. But friends, I believe that we need to spend time serving the Lord first, redeeming the time, and especially spend that time out in God's kingdom, helping those who are less fortunate than we are in whatever manner that might be. Redeeming the time. So our boundary lines in this life are time. When you were conceived in your mother's womb, at conception, time began for you, believe it or not. And you don't know how long it'll last. You might die in your mother's womb, but that's when life begins. That's when the gift of time begins. And when you close your eyes in corporal death, time ends. And you know, the great blessing about heaven is time won't exist there. You know, I've read a book, a part of a book called Imagine Heaven. Some people say, well, you know, I'll be satisfied. Everything will be fine. It doesn't really matter. But I believe imagination is important. And I believe the Bible teaches that. And I'll show you some verses that I believe that. And I'll tell you why I believe it. Before you got married the first time, second time, whatever time you got married in your life, honestly, could you imagine how good that marriage was going to be? Could you imagine the family that you might have? Because when we imagine things and imagine the good in them, we have a great desire. We do. We want that very bad. With great anticipation do we wait for that. I tell you, I see it in vacations all the time. I see folks who like to do certain things. Brother Keith, Sister Kelly like to fish. And they imagine catching these big fish. He shows me these pictures. I really doubt that's probably some kind of photograph thing he does, but... He loves to do that, and he imagines catching lots of them or big ones or whatever it is, and with great anticipation, he anticipates that time of being able to go and spend time with his family. Sister Suzanne and I went to Cabo in Mexico the end of October, and we had planned that trip for a long time. We imagined how nice it'd be to sit on the beach. It might not be your imagination. Everybody has that. We've gone to the lakes, we went to the mountains, and anywhere God's creation is, but we imagine it with that great imagination of a good time and what's going to be there. We go through the days with great anticipation. What does anticipation do for us? It helps us when a day is not good, knowing that there's something out there better, does it not? We're going to get away, and we're going to have some time together. We anticipate that time because we have troubles, we have problems. And that's a great blessing in our life. We're told in the book of beginnings, as I would say in the book of Genesis, that God created all things that we see. And he said they were good. And on the 60th day, he said they're very good. I have an imagination for the things that will be in heaven that are 1,000 times greater than anything you've seen on the earth. I do imagine that. I don't even know how to imagine it, but I do. But I'm going to tell you something we can imagine that the Bible teaches us clearly about. It's time. The Bible says there will be no time in heaven. You will not die again. You will not cry again. You will not have sleepless nights again. There will be no change in heaven. And I tell you, you can sit at home, and I encourage you to do so. Imagine existing where nothing ever changes, where you're always happy and never sad, where you're always smiling and never frowning, where every day is a good day. There's not a sleepless night. I tell you what, if that don't make you anticipate a coming day, what will? I tell you, I've had many vacations, and I don't even know where if we'll get to go on one next year. I hope we do, but I'm looking forward to it. And I can imagine how good a time we'll have with what family members get to go. And I'll anticipate it till the time comes. But I tell you, we're going somewhere with great anticipation where we won't have to come home. That way, we won't have to end. It's going to be forever because change will happen to us no more. Time will not exist in glory. I'm telling you, it's something that I believe we ought to all imagine. Now, I want to move on for a minute. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, Solomon teaches us a little bit about time that we need to make reference to. You know, some people believe that God has set an exact time for you to die. I believe the Bible teaches against that principle. How many people have you ever met in life that say, well, it was their time to go? Well, there's a season for us to go, but the Bible says to honor thy father and thy mother that thy days may be long upon the earth. That's the first commandment with promise. If you have an exact time to die, then why would honoring your father and mother extend your life? God contradicts himself. I don't believe we have a set time. There is a season. When we get between 70 and 100 years old, if God blesses us to live that long, we're in a season where at some point we're going to die. But I don't believe he set that date. Now let's notice here. It says in let's read verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under the heaven. I want you to take notice in Solomon's lesson here. This has nothing to do with what's above heaven. That's heaven itself. This is above the sun. This is under the sun. This is the life with the boundaries of time that you and I are living in. That's what Solomon's talking about. He says there's a time to be born and a time to die. We know that. We didn't know what time it was that we'd be born because we didn't exist. We didn't have any thoughts. We were nothing. But we know there is a time to die, not a specific time. Everybody believes that. Notice what it says in chapter 7, I'll go over it. Solomon reads that in verse 17. Be not overmuch wicked, neither be thou foolish. Why shouldest thou die before thy time? If you've got an exact minute to die, then why is a verse like that written in the Bible? You know, the times that are spoken of in Acts chapter 17 is a season or an area in which we live that all generations go through. We're all born at a certain time, and sometime down the road in the future, we are going to die. And if we don't die tragically or early in life, we certainly know that there's an age that we're very, very close to departing this world. He goes on and he says, a time to plant, a time to pluck up that which is planted, a time to kill, a time to heal, a time to break down, a time to build up, a time to weep, a time to laugh, a time to mourn, a time to dance. On and on goes these lessons here that he says, you know, it's just like I said, it's always time to do something, isn't it? I mean, it's time to get up, it's time to go to bed, it's time to eat lunch. We'll eat lunch, lay around a few hours, watch a few football games, it'll be time to eat supper. Well, I say dinner, I don't know. When I grew up, it was supper, and now it's changed to dinner somehow or other. But regardless of that, it's always time to do something. Let's go back for a second to Psalms 90. I'm going to read 12 verses here, and I'll get through them pretty fast for the sake of time. It says, Lord, this is a prayer of Moses. He says, Lord, thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Moses here is talking about the generations of human existence. Through all of them, the Lord has been our dwelling place. He is our dwelling place today, whether you recognize it or not, just as he was in the day of Moses. Before the mountains were brought forth, or ever thou hast formed the earth, and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, thou art God. He tells us here, and he explains to us and declares, I existed before time was ever set in motion, before he ever created the worlds, the heaven, the earth. Thou turnest man to destruction, sayest, return ye, children of men, for 1,000 years in thy sight, in the Lord's sight, are but as yesterday to you and I, when it is past, as a watch in the night. Do you know that time is so irrelevant to God and will be so irrelevant to you and I in heaven that 1,000 years is no different than one day to you and I? That's hard for us to understand, but that's what it says. And he doesn't mean we'll be counting 1,000 years up there. We won't. There'll be no counting taking place at all. But that's how he has us to understand it. He could have said 1,000,000 years or 10,000 years or as a day or as a watch in the night. But time is everything to us. It's always time to do something. And it seems like we're always running out of time. We don't have enough time. We're trying to get this done. We've got too much on our plate. We've got too many irons in the fire, as the old saying goes. That's why I believe the Bible teaches us to redeem the time, to ransom it, to put priorities on where you spend your time. How much time do you spend serving the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know that coming to church is a very, very small part of worshiping God? It'll be the smallest part of your worship of the Lord throughout the journey of time that you live upon this earth. If there's 168 hours in a week and you spend 3 hours congregating or assembling with God's children in the house of the Lord, then I can assure you, if you pray and then you meditate and you study, you will spend far more time with God outside of this building than you will inside this building. We're here to encourage one another. You know, I love it that when folks stay together for lunch, when we get together as much as we can, that's to encourage and uplift one another. It really is. We come here to hear the Word of God preached, but also to encourage one another. You know, we all have troubles out there. We all deal with the afflictions or the consequences of time. They're all different, but, you know, we're to lift one another up. We're to bear one another's burdens. We're to be there for one another. It's to be an important part of our life. We're to live and to come together as a family. But we live apart most of the week, and we ought to set aside a certain amount of time every day to be with the Lord. That's redeeming the time. We ought to set a certain time a day to be with our grandchildren or our children, to help them. We ought to set a certain time during the week to go out and help someone that is not able to help themselves, or just to give them an encouraging word and visitation. Friends, that's what Paul's talking about. Redeem the time. Buy it back. Ransom it. Use it for God's glory. He says you'll be blessed mightily in doing so. We will be. He goes on, he says, Thou carest them away as the flood, they are as asleep. In the morning, they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning, it flourisheth and groweth up. In the evening, it is cut down and withereth. All he's talking about is that's about the extent of our life inside the boundaries of the habitation, the boundary lines of time. It's little or nothing. We get so caught up in time and all the things going on, and I really life is poof, and we're gone. You know, I think about my grandparents, and I think about other folks that I have loved and cared for in life, and you know, a few days are gone, and all of a sudden it's 10 years, and it's 15 years, and it's 20 years, then it's 30 years, and then you approach the time of departure yourself. It just happens so fast. We don't know where all the time went, do we? That's why we need to ransom the time and make the best use of time that we can, to be with those that we love, to encourage one another. It says, for we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. Well, you can look back on your life and realize that tale was told pretty quickly. That book was read pretty quickly, because it's going to be closed before long. I realized that myself. I realize that, but I look forward to it. I have an imagination of what heaven's going to be like. We're not because of what the Bible says, not because of what I think. The Bible says time won't exist there. Sit around a while when you go home this week and imagine what it'd be like to live in a place where there's never a clock. You're not going to be punching the clock to go to work. You're not going to be punching out, and your wife's not going to be saying you got to come eat. at this certain time. There, you know, time won't exist. Change will not happen. I mean, it's just it's an enormous blessing to think about when we go on. The days of our years are 80 years. If you live to be 70 years old, you're blessed. And by reason of strength, they are 80 years. Yet, if you live to be 80 or even older, notice what it says here. Yet is their strength labor and sorrow. You know, it's amazing to me how many folks get to be 75, 80, and even older, and they spend the majority of their time taking medicine or going to doctors, trying to extend their natural life. And the Bible says all those years will be labor and sorrow. Now, I'm not saying don't go to the doctor. I believe God blessed us with the gift of doctors and the gift of medicine. But in the United States of America, this has become an obsession with a lot of people. And a lot of them is because they're desperately trying to extend their life. Moses said here, all them years are going to be nothing but labor and sorrow. And I think most folks will tell you that's exactly what they are. They're painful a lot of times. They're full of sorrow because of the afflictions that the body takes on. He goes on down and he says, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. Life is short. Time gets away from us. I know it's getting away from me. Verse 12, so teach us to number our days that we may apply our hearts to wisdom. I'm going to go to a couple more verses and begin to wind down. I want us to think about this imagining heaven. And I believe it's something that we ought to do. And I believe these verses tell us right here to do so. If you'll go to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Begin reading in verse 15. It says, for all things are for your sakes, that the abundant grace might, through the thanksgiving of many, redound or superabound to the glory of God. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. In this habitation of time that you and I live in, these boundary lines being time, and I believe at conception is when life begins, and in corporal death is when you close your eyes, I believe that closes that time frame or that habitation in which you and I naturally live in. It says, even though this body perishes, notice, but our outward man perishes day by day. Now, we can go to all kinds of plastic surgeons. We can do all kinds of things. Matter of fact, you can look at some of the folks on TV, and I don't know how many times they've been, but inside that body, the parts that operate in that body, they're wearing out and getting older. They can't escape time, not the natural body. It can't. I don't care how many doctors they go to. I don't care how hard they try. The outward man perishes day by day. You know, we sing that song, we're passing away. You begin to pass away at the very moment conception takes place. Each day you march forward in your life, you're passing away a little bit more and a little bit more. And if we get old enough, we're finally going to get to that boundary line where it ends. He goes on and says, for our light affliction, which is but for a moment. This is a hard verse to read. You feel like you're inundated with all kinds of trouble, all kinds of problems. Paul says, your affliction, whatever it is light. You may think it's the greatest burden that any man has ever carried, that there could be nothing in this world or this universe any worse. Paul says it's a light affliction, and it's but for a moment. That gives us an idea how long this life is, how long this time span is that we have. He says it's but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. While we look at things which are seen, while we look not, at things which are seen. You and I today can see, if we have eyes to see and are not blind, and most of us in here can, we see everything that's been created by man on the outside, the houses we live in, the roads that have been made, I mean, the crops that grow, the grandest of creation that God has given us, we see it with our eyes. While we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. How do you look at things which are not seen? With your imagination. God give you an imagination, and you should imagine heaven to be a greater place than anything you've ever seen. We're told in Revelation chapter 20 or 21 that there will be a river that flows from the throne of God. Do you believe that's a real river? Very well could be, but it won't be like any river we've seen. There's a tree that bears its fruit every month, the tree of life. You can go back to Genesis, and I believe that you can imagine. But there's one thing that you can carry home and imagine all day long. You're going to live in a place where nothing ever changes, and that includes you. There's never going to be a clock to look at, because eternity done away with time. God created time, and you and I live in the boundaries of time. But I want you to know that time is a gift. I used to say that when a person died, life began, but that's not the truth. I said that wrong. Because you were given the gift of life in a natural sense, born of the Spirit of God, and you've been given the gift of time. But I believe when you die, the fullness of the gift of time or gift of life begins there. We've been given a gift because we're here together. We're worshiping God. We're born of the Spirit. The Spirit is renewed day by day. Time is not going to have any effect upon the Spirit of God that dwells within us. But this outward man perishes from day to day. It does. But I believe that if we look unto heaven with great anticipation, that as we go through the struggles of life, it'll help us. He says, for the things which are seen are temporal. You know, we get so caught up in the things that we like. I talked about those vacations we all go on. They're temporal. They are a great blessing and enjoyment. But they're going to burn up with fervent fire one of these days, and there's going to be a new heavens and a new earth, the Bible teaches us. They're going to be something far exceedingly great above anything we can imagine. But I think we ought to imagine it. Imagine what this creation looked like 1,000 times over from what it is. Imagine a place that you're going to live where change will never have any effect on you. You will never die. You will always have a smile on your face. You won't come home and your husband or wife be slapping you around or chewing you out or saying, calling you out on something. That ain't going to happen. We're going to be brothers and sisters in Christ, and change will not be a part of heaven. When time ends, change ends. That's why I said time and change are very compatible in a definition, because we see the change that takes place in each and every one of us as time marches on. And time does march on until the Lord puts an end to it. But the things which are not seen are eternal. Those things that we imagine, that God teaches us in His Word. And there's some illustrations of things in there that we may not can fully imagine. But if we'll try, I believe we'll anticipate them. You know, we've seen some things here on the earth that we really enjoy. And we can imagine how great it'd be to spend a week or a month there. And if we get that opportunity, we just wait with the greatest of anticipation, do we not? Do you sit around and think about heaven in that manner? I tell you, it'll do you a lot of good, because when the rough days come, and they're going to come, when you have a bad day or things are not going your way, when you understand the glory of heaven, the glory of Almighty God, that you will never change, that you'll always be happy, there'll never be any tears again, there'll never be any sleepless nights. Oh, friends, I'm just telling you, if that is not exciting to you, I don't know what is. That's the most exciting news. That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May God bless us to always understand that and keep that as our focus, because if we anticipate something, it'll help us to get through the bad times, the difficult times. I know it does in a natural life. Redeem the time. Walk in wisdom toward them who are without, redeeming the time. Make good use of your time. I encourage you. I know that I need to work on that. I need to be far better about it. I'm the greatest waster of time probably of anyone that I've ever known. And I just think of how few things I've accomplished in my life and what good I could have done for someone else if I hadn't been selfish, if I hadn't allocated all the time or the greatest part of it for myself. I believe that's what redeeming the time is. And may God bless each one of us to do just that. I thank you for your attention. I pray that God will bless you in this coming week, and until we meet again.